This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Happy New Year to everybody. First show of the new year, and we are here in 2013. Hopefully, we're going to have an amazing year on many levels, but we're going to talk about what's going on with the federal government, what's going on with some federal hiring. We've got the fiscal cliff going on. We've got a number of bills being signed. We've got different things that are happening with the government that I think we all are impacted by, whether it be taxes, whether it be contractors, whether it be federal agencies and where they're going with either their mission or hiring, bringing on new people, any kind of new legislation that's being passed or whatever. But we've got one of our regulars, one of our favorites here, Linda Rick. She is co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com and a number of different projects for the federal government in which they're helping people get into the federal government, help with the application process and the number of other tools that they use to help the federal government be more efficient. Linda, thank you and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Derek. It's nice to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Always, always. Hey, you know, you understand more than anything because you are a federal contractor. You've been in the feds before at OPM a long time ago.
Yep.
And, you know, you kind of have been around to see the ups and downs of federal government. You know, we got this fiscal cliff and, you know, everybody said, oh, it's been averted and everything else. But what are you seeing as you're starting to read into the details and more people are commenting about the details?
Uh-huh.
What are you starting to see?
I think I'm seeing kind of a continuation of what I've been seeing for the last 2 years, which is, you know, things are pretty tight. People are kind of hunkering down and waiting to see what, you know, what's going to happen. I think we've been under continuing resolutions for so long. That it has created quite a quite a challenge for the government to continue to adopt new programs and move forward with some things, but at the same time the fiscal cliff is a different challenge entirely because it's really focused on what could be pretty draconian cuts. We're trying to gauge it, I think, like everyone else is, and I think the process right now is to try to figure out what kind of duration this is going to have.
You know, with that and thinking about, you know, the cuts and drawing things down and everything else, I mean, and even when we look through the cut, I mean, the fiscal cliff stuff, some of this stuff is not even being passed for, you know, a whole year. I mean, some of this stuff is for a couple months. And I'm assuming that maybe they did that for the new Congress to, you know, just to avert it and then have the new Congress take a hold of it. I'm not exactly sure. But how does that make, you know, you and maybe others feel as a business owner? And even as someone who deals with the government like this,
well, I think the degree of uncertainty is very high,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that any federal contractor or anybody in the business community, including nonprofit organizations that depend on federal grants or federal funding of any kind, you know, that's where everybody kind of has to just keep holding their breath, and it's a little like you kind of think, well, if it's going to be really bad, can we just, it's like a bandage. You just want to rip it off.
Right.
we'll just do it then.
Right.
But the continuing, sort of nibbling around the edges of this stuff is really what's making it difficult and adding to the uncertainty. I think it's fundamentally, I think a lot of attention was paid to the tax cuts and that, the whole issue of tax cuts / increases, however you want to cast that. But, when you look at the amount of work that is accomplished for the government by contractors, and you look at the potential impact that has, you're creating a lot of uncertainty in the general economy.
Right. You know, what does that do? I mean, for when we talk about uncertainty and how it impacts a business, I sometimes think if you're not in a business or maybe have a business, people don't necessarily understand what does that do and why does that maybe impact your hiring or why does it impact certain decisions about where you're going to go? I mean, walk us through from that side of a government contractor. I mean, what is the serious impact on that?
Well, you have no ability to plan. So a lot of government contracts are, you know, multi-year contracts. They may be contracts with option years, but you have sort of a predictable path that you're going down, that where you have a little line of sight, at least maybe, you know, 5 years out. And for some contractors that are very large, it's much more substantial than that. But what you are seeing are contractors. I've noticed SRA, SAIC. You know, you're getting these large primes that are doing layoffs because the contracts are just terminating, and so you see a few hundred people being laid off. Well, for a private company, you know, I think sometimes people think that a private company has a lot more flexibility and agility, which is generally true as it compares to, say, the federal government and the rules and regulations around the workforce there. But for a private company, loss of talent is a hardship. It may take years to develop the skills within your company that are part of the core competence that you deploy on these contracts, and that helps the government get its job done. And there's a whole issue of retention of talent, the development of talent in expectation of work coming in that's going to be a good fit, you know, for your company and the agencies that contract with you. So the issue partially is that. The other issue is, how much do you want to invest? Are you thinking that it's not going to be a growth period and you're going to be retrenching, and therefore you're not going to invest further in the company? What you're going to try to do is you know, go to expense control and some other options that you have that are going to help you kind of manage through these rather difficult times. And the government, it is very much like a pendulum. You know, there are growth times when the government, you know, where, for example, the Bush administration with the wars activating and those kinds of things, where you saw huge growth in contractor support for agencies, but you know, the high tide lifted all boats in that one. I mean, it was, you know, all agencies had some level of growth as a result of that. But when you come down to the negative, you may see DOD take a very, you know, serious and heavy hit. But just like the high tide lifted all boats, you know, you're now seeing, okay, the water's heading back out and receding, and right. You know, some of us are left on the shore here.
Sure.
So there's a lot of complexity to it, and I think it's a little different than companies that focus on the private sector as their customer base, because the private sector customer base has different issues,
right?
You know, relative to the certainty of, you know, what your revenue is going to look like going out. So.
Right. You know, you mentioned something really, really critical about kind of the talent. And in a time period where contracts are, where you're uncertain about where you're going to get contracts and everything else, and kind of you mentioned about the retention of talent, you know, and a lot of times talent is what makes your company. It's not necessarily the technology. I mean, technology may make it or whatever, just depending on your business, but you've got to have those key people. And if you
right.
lose those key people, then you can lose business. Isn't that the real case?
Right. And that's exactly it. And a lot of times it's, you know, we're a technology company that's known for the expertise our staff has, and so you want to retain, you know, staff and staff expertise at a really high level, and you've been, you know, working on that and cultivating that. You've been taking the bench strength, you know, the folks that are younger that are coming up through the ranks of the company, and you're really focused on making sure that they're acquiring that knowledge and that they're able to have opportunities to start to grow and learn in the same profession as folks that you have that maybe, you know, in our case, we hire directly from the government, from, you know, folks that are retiring out of the government tend to be our labor supply. And so we're, you know, we're really focused on, okay, well, you know, what does this mean when we're not certain, you know, as to the readiness of the government to use our services or to, you know, to deploy people that we have into agencies. So it's a, you know, talent management is always kind of an interesting problem, blending the need for what you predict will be in the future and what you have today.
You know, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more because I want to, you know, sometimes a medium or large a company can maybe withstand not having a couple contracts lined up for a while, but a small company may not be able to withstand that. And you know, what do companies do? Is that more loans? Is that, you know, I mean, what are the contingency plans, or do companies even have contingency plans when they go into this moment? And are we looking to see more moments like this where the federal government is uncertain? I want to kind of maybe talk about those different things when we come back. We're talking to Linda Rick. She is co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run aviewcentral.com and have a number of different solutions for federal government. They're a government contractor out there who's doing a lot of great work out there. But we're talking about what's happening in terms of the fiscal cliff, what's happening in terms of federal hiring, what's happening in terms of contractors and what we're going to see in 2013, finding out what's going on from her perspective as a government contractor and what she's seeing dealing with the federal hiring situation and everything else. We'll be right back after this break. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking about what's going on with government. So many different things that are happening right now. Fiscal cliff, new legislation is being passed. Other different, you know, hiring people are looking at that. Defense budgets just got passed. What's all this impact on 2013? What kind of impact is it having on, you know, our business environment? What kind of impact is it having on hiring in both the private sector and the government sector? What are all these different impacts that are going on right now with the government, and where are we going in 2013? Are we going to see some stability, which we need very, very desperately from what I'm hearing? We're talking to Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. You can find them. It's aviewtech.com, right, Linda?
Correct.
Aviewtech.com is their website, but they run aviewcentral.com, which is a federal job site that is in addition to USA Jobs, where you can find federal jobs, and they have a number of different solutions for federal agencies. Linda, you know, I was just asking before we got off for the first segment, with a smaller company who may not have maybe who may have maybe one, you know, government contractor, you know, these small businesses, especially as we think about veteran-owned businesses or small women-owned businesses or people who are just kind of getting into the game a little bit, you know, what should they be doing? I mean, can they withstand a situation like this? I mean, does that require them to take out loans? Does, I mean, what does that require for somebody to hold tight during this kind of time?
I'm glad you asked that. It's actually, you know, it's a real rock and a hard place problem. I actually participated in the House Armed Services Committee had a private, I don't even want to call it a hearing or anything like that. It was more of a private roundtable discussion with about 25 companies, some large, some medium, most of them small companies. And I was one of the companies invited to attend this. And they actually have passed, I understand that they've gotten some changes to the federal procurement process, that it's in the new National Defense Authorization Act, which, you know, is kind of hanging here with the whole fiscal cliff discussion and everything else.
Exactly.
But, you know, the reality was raised to them that, you know, small companies in particular are so vulnerable in this process because of several reasons. One is if they're in a bundled contract under a large prime, the prime may decide to do that work for themselves. And in order to keep their organization stabilized, they may, in fact, not subcontract on the level that they used to.
Wow.
So that hurts.
Right.
Then you've got the whole payment process and being able to get any, you know, authorization for payment, and government can be notoriously slow on some things like that, particularly if, as a small company, you don't have a lot of experience with it.
Right.
And so that kind of impacts the cash flow. In fact, I saw a local Seattle The Cairo CBS affiliate here in Seattle had a program on where they talked about a federal contractor who had a contract to move a federal agency from one federal office building to another. And in the process, he incurred some additional expenses. And because of those additional expenses, the government refused to pay any of his invoice.
Oh, wow.
So he was out $100,000, which made it made the process such that he ended up doing a considerable amount of layoffs as a result of this. So it was severely impacting his business. And GSA said, oh, yeah, well, we had a problem with the invoice, and now we have to mount the contract, and we have to go through this, we have to go through that.
Wow.
And then he can resubmit his invoice, and then we'll take the 30 days to pay him. And so, you know, the part of the process is there the capital, you know, that's available for loans and things like that are generally still pretty tight. You know, you're not seeing a lot of high-risk behavior by, you know, banks or even behavior by institutions that might, you know, provide some support along those lines. So I think it can be crushing.
Wow.
I think people will lose their companies because of this. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Is this something, you know, I mean, I don't, because we want to encourage, you know,
right.
I mean, there has been a push, and you can tell me if you're seeing this or not, there has been a push of getting more small businesses into the contracting game and giving out more small business contracts rather than giving out, you know, more of the bigger ones with the SAICs or the Lockheeds or something like that. That's where I kind of seen the federal government going towards and giving it towards more, you know, whether it be a minority or so, what they call disadvantaged or specialized groups, veterans or whoever the case is, who start their businesses. But, I mean, this... you know, what you're stating is a big concern, because if a person does go into this path, it seems as if you have to have a number of contingencies prepared. If you begin walking down this road, many people can't get a loan for $100,000 to sustain or get loans to sustain them. I know small businesses right now who are just struggling, and they had to start looking for stuff in the private sector because the government has just been kind of taking their time and it's really hurting them. You know, what do we do? I mean, you know, when we've got the government saying, get in here, and then we've got Congress and everybody else not passing where money can flow.
Well, you know, it's really, you know, to me, there's a fundamental problem with the procurement process that needs to be addressed. And that's what I think the House Armed Services Committee was trying to do, was to get more availability of contracts direct to small businesses, not even through primes, but, you know, directly to small businesses, so they could manage their own contracts and their own revenue stream and so on. But you know what I find very disheartening is, and there are three cases of this with the VA, for example. The VA has a requirement in law that Congress put in statute that they may not buy off the federal supply schedule. They must look first and contract first with a service disabled, veteran-owned small business. And in three protests of actions by the VA ignoring that ruling, the VA has continued, despite the fact that they have had GAO rule in favor of the service-disabled veteran business, they have continued to contract as if they are ignoring this ruling. And so what you see is I can see that, you know, Congress is trying to, I think, do things to particularly right now, because the unemployment rate is so high for veterans returning from overseas, and particularly high for women veterans. One in five women veterans that exit out of the military are unemployed. You know, so that's a very high percentage.
Right.
And, you know, when you look at what's happening, a lot of folks that are coming out are choosing and opting the entrepreneurial path because unemployment has been kind of elusive these days. And so there's been this choice, well, I can, you know, I do have these skills and I can go into business for myself and I can contract with the government because that was the source from which I, A, learned my skills and, B, used them, right? So so it would seem to be, you know, kind of a natural fit. And I think that it has to be a combination of the administration and the executive branch saying, no, we're going to honor these provisions And we're going to do our best to support the small businesses that are, in fact, the core of the economy and where all the growth in the economy takes place. And secondly, you know, we're going to try to do more to pass laws that that alter and change the landscape relative to federal procurement.
But do you think, I mean, given what you're seeing, do you think it's, and I know, you know, we don't want to discourage, but do you think it's a good time? Is 2013 a good time for someone, either a veteran or woman or whoever the case is, someone who's deemed a minority, to go into and begin? And yes, the path of entrepreneurship is definitely being pursued more and more and more. Mm-hmm. Is it a good time to begin pursuing entrepreneurship in terms of government contracting?
You know, you call me an optimist about this, but I do believe for a very small business, mm-hmm. it's probably a pretty good time.
Okay.
And largely
why?
This is...
And why is that?
Yeah, well, for one thing, I would not try to get into some of these very, very large-scale projects that, you know, DOD takes. They take 5 years to study it. They take 3 years to write a procurement, and then they take, you know, another 3 years to award it, and it's going to be a big deal, and it's going to go to a big prime. I mean, those are things that are different. But if you have a really great skill set, I have a friend that exited the military, and he has a company that provides training in a very specific area for DOD. And, you know, he started as a one-person shop, and because he has this unique skill set, you can find opportunities, and these would be opportunities that would not be, you know, a big defense-wide contract or a big even Army-wide or service-wide contract, but something maybe in a local installation in your area, a local, you know, consulting opportunity, opportunities to provide services that are, again, kind of you know, niche focused and very, very specific.
Right.
I think there is still that. I think what you can't do is say, now at this point in the process, how fast can I grow that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And part of it has to do with the uniqueness of it.
Hold that thought real quick, and we're going to come back. I want to pick up on that where you come in, because that's giving some good advice for some people who may be thinking about this stuff, you know, about, you know, where should you be going? What should you be doing? You're seeing some of the stuff out there about maybe even who are some of the places to target, because that's what you're looking at as well. But I want to talk about that a little bit more as we come back. We're talking to Linda Ricks, and we're talking about what's going on with federal government, the fiscal cliff, government contracting. Should you get in and be a government contractor right now? What's going to be going on with federal hiring? We're going to be talking about that really soon. Well, Linda Ricks is a co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They're aviewtech.com, but they run aviewcentral.com and a number of other different projects for federal government agencies, helping them with their hiring process. And what else are you helping them with, Linda? What else are you guys doing?
We're helping with kind of the whole asset management
mm-hmm.
part of and onboarding and offboarding and all kinds of other areas.
So Aview Technologies, good company out there. But she's been through this process as a government contractor, and she's given some good insight today. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having a real good conversation about what's going on with the federal government. I know it's on Federal News Radio, so that's all we do. But we're talking about federal government in terms of the fiscal cliff. We're talking about government contracting. Should you get into this business right now? And then also talking about the dynamics of federal hiring that we're going to be talking about. What are we going to be seeing in the upcoming future with certain agencies? Talking to Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. Their site is aviewtech.com, but they run aviewcentral.com and a number of other sites and providing some solutions for government agencies. She's been around the government sector as a federal employee and also having a government contracting business, and so she understands this game quite well. Linda, you know, we were just talking about, you just indicated that this may be the time. If you're a small business owner, this mm-hmm. is the time to maybe get into this thing right now. And you were indicating that it's not necessarily to get onto a big project, but maybe something a little bit more niche. Are you kind of saying a little bit more niche, small scale, something? And is a reason being because you can get your money quicker, it's easier to navigate, it's easier to work with the people? I mean, what are you thinking?
I think, you know, if it really what... where I think, you know, a small entrepreneur has a real sweet spot is if you are and have a specific kind of skill that is difficult to find in the government and where the government struggles to hire, then I think that skill can be applied really well and you can make a good living and, you know, start the process of growing a company for when the pendulum swings back and, you know, we kind of go back into this growth period again. And I think that really it's, the government has is a very interesting composition today. It's so integrated with private sector. You know, you don't see the volume of federal agencies that have very, very substantial contractors on board to get various initiatives met and done is quite high. I mean, I don't think there's a single agency I see where there isn't a fairly substantial contractor workforce underpinning that agency.
Hmm.
So I think that what's happened is over time, the growth of government has been more of this blended workforce of private and public employees than it has been of public employees, which has been pretty flat. I mean, the number of federal employees has been pretty steady for 20-some years. So where we're seeing that is really in the contractor workforce and this increased blend of private companies and private entrepreneurs that support a federal agency. So if you have a specific skill that an agency needs, I think it's a lot easier for you to get in a small stage of a company and get good business and do great work, because the government has a tendency to have more people focused on things like managing contractors or project management or program management or, you know, those kinds of things versus the people who are actually the boots on the ground. In a lot of cases, the boots on the ground are contractors.
You know, I mean, you mentioned that many agencies have that sublayer of employees, the contractors, mm-hmm. and basically all agencies have that. Are we seeing the shift? Is that going to continue, or are we seeing a dynamic of, you know, because government kind of goes in these different kind of ebb and flow of, you know, sometimes they want more government federal employees, and then sometimes they don't. They want more contractors. I mean, where are we at right now going into 2013?
Well, I think this has been building for probably, you know, a decade or more, probably more, where what you're seeing when you look at the positions that the government fills and the type of work that the government goes out and recruits and the type of skills that they're going out and recruiting for, what you're seeing is a lot more increase in the more broad-based competencies around project and program management and oversight, and with less of the very, very deep technical side of the house. And I think this is a product of a very, very long evolution. And I think as a result of that, what you'll see is here's a little in-depth federal one, you know, sort of like the number of 301s in government. This is a general administrative occupation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's blossoming.
It's taking off right now?
It's growing. It has been growing for many years, mm-hmm. right? So the really specific skill set has a tendency to be less the focus of where the government has been developing and growing its own workforce.
Mm.
And I don't think you could point to a critical time when that happened or a specific, you know, driver for that. But at some point 15 years ago, there was this migration started, and so what we're seeing are folks that can do programmatic oversight and can manage programs and projects, but are not the hands-on folks, you know, that actually, are the boots on the ground folks. So it's slightly different depending on the agency, but there are a large number of agencies where or you can look and easily see that for every federal employee there is a contractor.
You know, with all of that going on, and we talk about the small businesses possibly getting in, is there any sector within the federal government that you would kind of recommend? I mean, or really it's across the board right now? I mean, of course, we hear about, you know, defense, we hear about cyber and other things like that. But, you know, I mean, outside of your really, really hot topics, you know, I mean, cyber is a hot topic
that
lot of people are jumping on. And, you know, of course, people who get in there real quick will be some of the winners. But is there anything else going on? That is an area that people should be looking at.
I think it's across the board in any particular technical discipline.
Okay,
you know where you'll find that you'll see it in. It's in law enforcement.
Okay,
you know it's in you know various areas where you see this very high growth in the private sector now. You know, and not to steer this back to AVU, but I will for a second here.
Take your moment. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. But you know, we're creating this new concept of called the exchange concept. Okay, and we're the first ones out. You will see our we'll have one in cyber security. We'll have one in wildland firefighting, and we'll have one in the area of acquisition and for veterans and these various areas where what we're doing is we're creating a online ecosystem where in wildland fire we've identified that the private sector wildland firefighting industry is growing at somewhere between 12% and 15% a year.
Right, okay.
Where it's flat in government. So we'll create one place where candidates for jobs can put their skills in and be considered by government, both federal, state, and local, and private companies. So they'll have the consideration by many, many different parties depending on where the work is going. And right now it's going to private companies on a very, very substantial scale. And a lot of private companies are you know, much more involved in also trying to get all of the other vendors that are part of the ecosystem. So when you think about fire, you're thinking about, well, you're going on, you know, onto a situation where you need to feed people, you need to have showers, you need to have, you know, very fundamental things, all the way to maintenance mechanics and aviation crews. So we're creating what we're calling exchanges, where all of this fits into one cohesive process, all the way down to things like being able to sign up for physical fitness training, have certifications, have background checks and clearances, all the way through that process.
In the exchange, you would have kind of one portal or one place that people inside can come to and basically run their whole agency. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
Right. And so you can basically do everything in one spot, whether it's a government agency or a private employer. But, you know, I think what we're seeing is that the private sector side of the house is really picking up under, you know, some of these very, again, technical areas where there is a need and where the expertise exists in the private sector.
And in that, I mean, you know, we talk about cybersecurity, but you're touching on a whole other niche in terms of is this all part of the cloud computing movement of being able to put services in the cloud and also be able to provide a wide range of services off the computer that, you know, that agencies who are dispersed across the United States and maybe around the world, they can all jump in and take care of business? Is that what we're looking at?
I think it's partially it's the one-stop shopping. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I think I probably shared this with you on a different interview, but, you know, we've always had this concept that there should be a way for the private sector to help government the way Amazon is, you know, this big central storefront.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the idea is partially that, and the other idea is we're looking at what I think is an absolute trajectory, which is you're going to have a blended workforce. The idea of something, you know, that is exclusively done by a governmental entity, you know, some major function or service that's being provided to citizens, being exclusively done by governmental entity just does not exist anymore. So the reality of the blended workforce is you have to have a blended approach.
Okay.
Right? So that's really what we're focused on. We're focused on key mission areas where we think we see the trend line on that, a lot more strongly focused right now.
You know, I want to take that and hold that for a quick second, because I want to talk about that. And I know you got a couple more projects going on, but I also want to talk about where we're seeing federal hiring going on from your clients and everything else. So hold that really, really quick. We'll be right back. We're talking about government. What's going on in 2013? What can we anticipate is going to happen in 2013 with the fiscal cliff, with budgets being passed? What trends and what kind of, you know, movements in technology are we going to start seeing in terms of government? You know, what solutions are going to be possibly implemented in terms of government? We're talking to Linda Ricks. She is one of the solution providers. She's co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. Thank you. Find him at avietech.com. And we'll be right back after this break. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about what's going on with the federal government, what's happening in terms of the number of different things, the fiscal cliff, budgets being passed, government contracting, should you get in it right now? We've heard today that you possibly, if you have a small business, it may be the time for you to begin exploring getting into government contracting. But we're talking about a number of different things about what's going to happen in 2013 with the federal government. We're talking to Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. They're a solution provider for the federal government, HR solutions, asset management, a number of different things. But she has been around this for a long time, so she knows what she's talking about. Linda.
Despite my youthful appearance.
Despite your youthfulness. Despite your being 25. You know, you've been around this for a long time. I want to, before I kind of touch, and I want to hear what you guys are doing, but before I get into that, what are you thinking, because you guys have always handled federal HR type stuff and federal hiring. What are you seeing in terms of the federal hiring right now? Are we going to, you know, when the budgets get passed, will there be a pickup for federal hiring? Will people who want to get into government, is it still a place to do a job search, or are you saying, hey, listen, don't waste your time, focus on the private sector?
I would say this. I think that most federal agencies have had either a hiring slowdown or pause or freeze, depending on how the agency characterizes it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been true for a couple of years. So I don't think that, I think if you end up with a big cut through either sequestration or some other process, what will happen is that the agencies have basically been what I call stockpiling vacancies. So they have, because they have not been filling jobs, and they've been kind of parking those aside for a little bit, I don't think you'll see big cuts to the existing workforce. Now, depending on the cut to the budget,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what you'll see in terms of widespread hiring.
We're looking more for entry level. We may not see as many widespread hirings. We're looking more for almost succession, maybe certain SESers who are leaving, maybe people who are mid-level managers who are leaving. Are we looking more towards that?
Well, I think you got a couple things going. One is the retirement rate has picked up.
Okay.
Right. So the retirement rate is climbing, and I think a lot of people are. I think they're fatigued
mm-hmm.
With the ongoing budget struggles, and I think also that speculation about the high five for annuity calculation versus your high three is causing people to go ahead and take opportunities, and agencies have been engaging in buyouts. So people are leaving at the top of the process, and as we know in government, there's no backfill, there's no bench strength. So there's nothing to pull up from. So if you're mid-career, in the next couple of years, you may see mid-career opportunities opening up, or upper-level, sort of high-end opportunities opening up. You may see more SES. You may see, more widespread retirements at the upper end of the grade range. But if I were in college right now and, looking for job opportunities or, looking maybe a year or two downstream, I would get into the intern program that the government has. That they've fired up the Pathways program, which is internships those are, I think, still premium opportunities as compared to internships, as they are often done in the private sector.
So you think for maybe for students right now,
if there's
any kind of time to get in, I mean, using the Pathways program and all these internships, those are critical.
Those are really important to pay attention to, I think, because you're gonna end up there. And one of the elements of doing that is you have the opportunity to get very significant experience. The big differentiator between federal government internships and private company internships typically is the federal government will invest very, very heavily in internship programs, and your learning is highly structured and tends to be substantive. Where in the private sector, it could be anything. You could be getting coffee and picking up laundry, or you could be learning something really substantive as well. You know, mm-hmm. It just depends on the company and how they approach it.
Right.
But the government takes it very seriously, and I think right now they're going to take it even more seriously because of the retirement rate picking up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think if they end up with this sort of blended, you know, easing people into retirement process that they're talking about and start working through that process, then that allows for better knowledge transfer, you know, and an opportunity for people who are in an internship program or in Pathways to be able to acquire knowledge in a paced environment that is, you know, fairly low risk, but at the same time has a lot of learning opportunity. And then as they move up through the pipeline, I think they'll move faster. I think what they'll find is the promotion rate for people coming into government right now will accelerate, because people are leaving at the top end of the grade range.
Right. So really what I'm hearing is, I mean, for people who may be on the outside who are looking to get into government, if you're kind of maybe a mid to senior level person, this may be a good time to kind of monitor what's going on. And then if you're a student, whether it be an undergraduate or graduate student, this may be another good time for you to kind of look at these internships or maybe try to push yourself in through those areas. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And I think if you're in government right now and you're at the GS-11, GS-12,
mm-hmm.
you may see a nice set of opportunities at 13, 14, 15 SES.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And then on entry, you'll just have a faster accelerated path because that will be what the government needs.
Right. Talk about AVU. We got a few minutes. Talk about what's going on. We already talked about kind of, you know, one area, but what else you got going on at AVU?
Yeah, we're basically the exchanges are a big thing, and that's a multi-sector mm-hmm. Approach to mm-hmm. things, and that's where a lot of our focus has really been. We've also been more engaged in things like workforce planning, scenario planning, looking at agency cost structures, mm-hmm. Managing to optimize organizational structures. Being able to provide a lot of asset tracking and, you know, engaging the HR workforce differently than has been true in the past. So we've been working down that front pretty aggressively over the last year. excuse me. And then the other thing that we're really seriously looking at is we just signed a new customer, which is a company called Applied Military Training,
mm-hmm.
and they are engaged in and they're supported by manufacturing and agriculture
mm-hmm.
companies,
mm-hmm.
and they're engaged in with us in a process where we're working with educational institutions, community colleges, and university systems to assist in the transition of veterans based on their military skills and training into comparable jobs in industry with a academic support system.
Okay.
That provides them the training. So we're getting very heavily focused on veterans right now because of we've always had this ongoing focus on the hiring of veterans as it relates to federal government hiring and federal government opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a long-term relationship, I think, going on probably eight, nine years now with the American Legion. So now this takes it to a completely different level where there are completely structured development plans, career development plans for members of the military that are exiting. And there are huge number of private sector job opportunities that are the focus of this.
Wow.
So we're getting a lot more into that area, and then we're starting to get into what I call kind of a veterans advocacy area, where we're looking at things like how veterans apply for benefits and what type of process occurs relative to ensuring that people are, getting the benefits that they need and have an easy way of transitioning into private civilian life again. So those are the other areas that we're really focused on. But I think for us right now, the key to having the government be, sustainable and productive and able to continue to meet its obligations to citizens, our principal focus is we need to look at the blended workforce, and we need to understand it, and we need to understand how to capitalize on it more effectively. So that's the real key to the next few years.
Linda, always a pleasure to have you on. I wish we had more time to talk, because these sound like some exciting developments. I want to hear more about them as they start to unfold over 2013.
Yeah.
The veteran community is definitely one of those areas that I am, definitely on top of, and definitely want to hear more about it as well. Thank you so much for being on Fed Access.
You bet. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.